This is the live audio feed of the shooting 20 years ago.
This
is the scanner, police scanner audio from North Hollywood.
What is the direction the suspects are going, and they have a tank coming in for the officer.
I need an IA unit, please, help. In front of the building, before the parking lot.
Officers requesting help in the building, Emporium parking lot. There's possibly also a motor officer down at Victory and Archwood.
Hear the emotion of the officer's voice is trying to help their peers and the people.
Rick Garrett,
get back.
Unit that just requested help, what is your location? The building parking lot?
This again is not live presently. This was 20 years ago today during the bank robbery where a duo turned a Los Angeles neighborhood into a war zone. It was the first time that police had confronted this sort of thing, yet apparently they knew this sort of eventuality was a real possibility. So we're going to go to my source, Cheryl Dorsey, retired LAPD sergeant, who was in the North Hollywood division when this shootout occurred. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Thanks for having me.
I'm sure you're listening to that. If you were able to hear that police feed, that must bring back horrible memories.
Yeah, you know, I guess fortunately for me, I was working a different watch in North Hollywood. I was assigned to patrol on morning watch when that occurred. And obviously, you understand that the incident occurred during daytime hours, so I was not physically on duty. But, you know, we knew about these guys, and we had been talking about it in roll call, and we had been briefing and prepping our officers for the eventuality of confronting these suspects because we knew that they had committed several prior bank robberies, and we knew that they were armed to what we say to the teeth. We knew that we were going to be outgunned if we encountered them.
Wow. I did not know that, Cheryl. I thought this was a complete surprise. Now, part of the story always was the fact that these guys had been pulled over with multiple rounds of ammunition and banana clips and automatic weapons, and that no one did anything with that. Do you remember that piece of the story?
Vaguely, you know, and it could have been that, you know, maybe they had it legitimately, you know, every now and then, you know, what police officers are known to do, or we know, is that complacency kills. And, you know, when you stop people multiple times a day, traffic stops, if you're not on point every time, you could miss something. And that's why complacency kills. You have to treat every encounter as if it's the first one of the day.
And tell me more about what you knew about these guys and what you were thinking, because it's stunning to hear that.
Well, we had been talking about it during roll call briefings because we knew that there were several bank robberies that had occurred in the area, and we knew that based on the witness descriptions that these guys were armed in a way that was very unusual, something that we had never encountered before. And even in those briefings and prepping for the eventuality of a confrontation, we still, you know, weren't quite sure what we would do in the event that a patrol officer who only has a 9mm and a couple of magazines with additional ammo, what do you do when you encounter a suspect who's armed with a banana clip that holds 100-plus rounds?
What were you thinking at the time? What did you imagine should have been done?
Well, the officers did everything that they could do.
I mean, did you feel at the time when you were hearing these briefings, did you feel like that this just we're doing everything we possibly can, or were you arguing for some more body armor or ammunition or something for the officers?
No, because we know that, you know, we had what we had. And so that was the whole point in talking about it during roll call, to make sure that everybody has a plan A, B, and in this case, we even need maybe a plan C, because this was going to be something unlike anything that we have ever encountered. And we knew that going in, but we knew our limitations. And so that's why we were talking about it and about the what ifs, kind of what would you do? Who do we want to contact? Who do we want to, you know, be the first that we reach out to for assistance? Because we already knew we were going to be at a disadvantage. Every patrol officer in North Hollywood on that day was at a disadvantage. You have your on-duty weapon, maybe a backup weapon, and a shotgun, and that's it.
And how did that day change policing? Because it seems like everyone in law enforcement knows about that day. How did it change things?
You know, I don't know if that day particularly changed anything other than, you know, I don't know that it changed anything for patrol officers.
Well, it seems it seems like, you know, last year we were talking about the militarization of the police, that they had, you know, tanks and all kinds of body armor and automatic weapons. It looked like more like a military operation. Is that how we got that way? Because they needed to arm up to be able to fight off a military style criminal.
Well, certainly police departments have always had access to those kinds of things. I mean, back to the days of Daryl Gates, you know, when they had the Bat-O-Ram, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the implementation of special weapons and tactics, you know, that was something that Police Chief Daryl Gates instituted. And so we knew that, you know, no matter what we do and how we train as police officers in patrol, we always know that bad guys are one step ahead of us. And so you do the best that you can in terms of training and in terms of, you know, when I came on the department, I carried a 38 revolver with six shots.